say when she finds you gone away to places far and strange, to Valerio. If ever I return, pretty Maggie-o. If ever I return, pretty Maggie-o. If ever I return, all your cities I will destroying all the ladies in the area. Destroying all the ladies in the area.
KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint. K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove. KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay. KFPS 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA 88.1 FM in Akutan, Alaska.
Creativity comes in many forms, and on this episode of the Children's Hour, we're going to celebrate artists, authors, musicians, and performers who create their own way. We meet Albuquerque street artist Maywin Padilla and the legendary actor William Shatner. We chat with best-selling author Dan Gutman and young actress Celestina Harris about all of their creative journeys. Plus, we premiere A Balloon's Breath, a symphony for strings composed by 12-year-old Evan Dates and inspired by the sound of hot air balloons. Join us as we explore the power of imagination and self-expression coming up on the Children's Hour. The Children's Hour is an independent production of the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico-based nonprofit. We're distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American radio network.
It's time for the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
Where does an astronaut park his spaceship?
I don't know. Where?
A parking meteor.
It's time for the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
She weaves them all together to make her her tapestry. But you create your own way. You create your own way. You create your own way. You create your own day.
That's the Green Chili Jam Band. I'm Katie Stone, and today on the show, we're thinking about creativity. We start today's show in a park called Tigue Park in Albuquerque's Old Town District. The kids and I are sitting on a hill in the sunshine, and who's with me today?
Hi, it's Thorfinn.
Hi, it's Kodiak.
Hi, it's Raymond.
Hi, it's Kybio.
Hi, it's Lucas D.
Hi, it's Asa.
Hello, it's Amadeus.
Hi, it's Nina.
Hi, it's Killian.
Hello, it's Max.
So here we are out at a park, and we're going to talk with this person over here. I think you all can tell what we're going to be talking about on the show. Yeah, Lucas D.
Today on the show, we're going to be talking about art.
Our chalk artist is with us in a playground park right now, and she's making art. And we have kids with all kinds of recording equipment, and they're going to be learning about the art. Are we ready to go over and meet Maywin Padilla, the artist?
Yeah!
Okay, let's go do it. We're going to meet Maywin Padilla. She's a street artist in Albuquerque who does chalk art, and she's doing it now with our kids crew and inspiring us all. We're also going to meet the legendary former captain of the Starship Enterprise, Captain T. Kirk. Mr. William Shatner is with us on the show today. And Dan Gutman, the author of more than 190 titles for kids, including the My Weird School series, is with us today. Plus, we're going to meet an 11-year-old child actress, Celestina Harris, who's already working out in the industry of entertainment and thriving. And today on the Children's Hour, you're going to hear the world premiere of A Balloon's Breath. It's a symphony for strings written by 12-year-old Evan Dates. And all of this is coming up on the Children's Hour as we explore creativity with you today. You can follow along on our playlist and see pictures and links and so much more at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode page, Create Your Own Way. We're going to go chat with Maywin, but before that, this is the Okie Dokie Brothers.
Do we all see color the same? Or do the colors just have the same name? Is my blue your blue too? Or does yours have a different hue? Do you just see what your eyes see? And do I just see what mine show me? Like black and white and red and blue, would they look different from a different view? And you know I see you, and I know you see me. Imagine mixing all our dreams together to make a color that we've never seen. Is the sky still blue when your eyes are closed? Is the snow still white before it snows? What color is a dollar when you can't pay? And what color are the stars in the day? And you know I see you, and I know you see me. Imagine mixing all our dreams together to make a color that we've never seen. Canvas different from mine, just because the colors are a different kind. It doesn't matter what shade or tone, you are a masterpiece all your own. And you know I see you, I know you see me. Imagine mixing all our dreams together to make a color that we've never seen. Imagine mixing all our dreams together to make a color that we've never seen.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, and today on the show, we're thinking about creativity. People can be creative in so many different ways. For me, I'm creative when I make radio shows, and for other people, maybe they are creative in their gardens, and maybe you're creative when you're painting at school or even just on your own coloring. Our first guest on the show is Maywin Padilla. She's a street artist in Albuquerque, and that means that she makes art just everywhere out in public, and her art is made out of chalk.
How did you first get started with art?
I'm like a lot of typical artists. I've always been drawing my entire life, just doodling on paper, just anything I could get my hands on. I did stop doing art for several years. I had kids and I was married, and I took a break and just separated myself from it. And as my kids got a little older, I just dove in feet first and I went crazy. And so, long story short, most of my life I've been doing art. So completely self-taught.
So I'm aware that your media is mainly based on drawing with chalk in more public places. How did you become more familiar with your media, and have you always been interested in chalk art?
I wasn't always interested in chalk art, honestly. I started out mostly just drawing and painting. Just one day, me and my kids were outside, we were bored, and I found some chalk from when they were little, and I just started drawing in my driveway. But then I decided I wanted to take it out into the streets, and so I just loaded up a backpack full of chalk and I walked around and I just started chalking on sidewalks around the city. I'll work on any concrete, but some of it I really prefer.
Why do you think that is?
In order for it to really kind of soak in the chalk, you want it to be kind of absorbent and to have some texture. Some concrete is really smooth. I don't know if you guys have ever been on concrete and it gets wet and you like slide on it. I really don't like that concrete because it won't absorb any of my chalk. But also if it's too textured or too bumpy, it's hard to get the lines that I want. I mean, part of it I like that the concrete is dictating part of what I do. But I also like to be able to make it look like an elephant's trunk if I want an elephant's trunk.
What's your favorite piece of chalk art that you did?
Usually it's something that I've currently done. Recently I did a frog in my driveway that has headphones on, and I was really proud of him. So he was one of my favorites, but I have several favorites. So I've probably done well over 700 chalkings, so it's hard to say exactly which ones are my favorite.
How do you feel about the fact that your art is so temporary? Do you like that it washes away, or are you sad about it?
I love that it washes away. Of course, I've done pieces before where I wish they stayed a little longer, but I know it's part of what I do and part of my process, and I really love temporary art. I love that this is just for you guys right here, right now, and whoever may walk their dog around here later today or just be out walking, and it's just very happenstance, you know? I like that nobody owns it, and with this type of street art, I just feel like, yeah, it just kind of belongs to everybody or whoever happens upon it. And the fact that it goes away just gives me a clean canvas again. And yeah, I like that it's temporary. I like this idea of temporary because I don't think anything is truly permanent.
You can see the art that Maywin Padilla made for the Children's Hour and the art that was inspired by her that the Kids Crew made at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Create Your Own Way. Coming up on the show, we have many creative people, including actor, author, and musician William Shatner, Dan Gutman, the author, child composer Evan Dates, and coming up next, superstar 11-year-old film, television, and video game actress Celestina Harris. We're thinking about creativity today on the Children's Hour. This is music that makes you want to shine.
I've got ideas that shine, colors in my mind, every day a new design, imagination intertwined, drawing rainbows in the sky, building castles with it high, dreaming dreams that make me fly, wings of wonder I can't deny. I've got creativity in me, endless possibilities. Just close my eyes and see what my heart can truly be. Turning boxes into spaceships, sailing seas on paper ships, magic wands and paper grips. Every journey starts with trips. Tonguing boxes in a spaceship, sailing seas on paper ships, magic wands and paper grips. Every journey starts with trips. Songs and stories in my voice, every day I make a choice to let my spirit joyously rejoice. In my creativity I rejoice. I've got identity in me, endless possibilities. Just close my eyes and see what my heart can truly be. Rainbows in the sky, building castles way up high, dreaming dreams that make me fly, wings of wonder I can't deny. I've got creativity in me, endless possibilities. Just close my eyes and see what my heart can truly be. Turning boxes into spaceships, sailing seas on paper ships, magic wands and paper grips. Every journey starts with trips.
You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone.
My name is Thaniel.
Today we're going to be hearing from 11-year-old Celestina Harris.
She's a child actress and voice actress who has done work on Lioness and Special Ops, along with being the modern voice for Uniqua in Nickelodeon's Backyardigans and Myra from Disney's Young Jedi Adventures.
She's doing great work in both school and in her acting.
So the first thing I would love to know is, what is it like to be a child actor coming into the spotlight?
Being a child actor coming into the spotlight is different because we have to balance like school and a normal childhood, and we also have a job. Don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining at all. I love what I do, but it can be challenging sometimes. And whenever people, like, recognize me, it's just so rewarding. And it's like a pat on the back for me, like, for all the hard work I've done.
When did you start acting?
So, I grew up watching my sister in theater. And whenever she would, like, practice her scenes and lines, I would, like, try to copy her. And one day, my mom saw this and she was like, "Do you want to try acting?" And that's when COVID hit, so everything was like online. So it was different because I didn't go into theater because like Broadway shut down and like nobody was really doing theater anymore. So I was like, okay, I'll do in TV and film. And so I went into there and I started doing commercials and short films, and I slowly built my way up to TV shows and movies.
What is your favorite part about acting? And what is the most creative aspect about it?
So one of them is that like I just get to like go to all of these cool places. Like I get to go to New York, LA, and it's just so beautiful. And one day I want like to go somewhere where you need a passport to go there. So yeah. And another one is that I just get to meet all of these amazing crew and actors and actresses, and I really get to learn from them. And I think that's pretty amazing. And I think the most creative aspect about it is just getting to like transform into all of these different characters. It's like I'm a chameleon.
What are some strategies that you employ to avoid being overworked or overwhelmed?
Preparation is key, because whenever I feel overworked or overwhelmed, it's because I haven't really prepared for that. So I always make sure that I learn my lines before and do character research so I could really portray that character well. And it's the same thing with school. If I have a test, I make sure to study a couple days before to make sure I really lock that information in my mind so I can just go straight through the test. So yeah.
In your opinion, why is it so important to have a diversity of voices and voice actors in our media?
I think it's important to have diversity because, you know, the whole world is diverse. And if there isn't diversity in our media, then a lot of people would feel like they just don't belong there. And I think that representation matters. And whenever I see like a girl that has either box braids like me or curly, fluffy red hair like me, I'm like, ooh, girl, you did that. You ate. So, yeah.
Celestina Harris is an 11-year-old child actress, a professional. And you can find links and photos and more at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Create Your Own Way. We've got more creative people coming up on the Children's Hour, including William Shatner, the author of the My Weird School series, Dan Gutman, and the world premiere of A Balloon's Breath by 12-year-old composer Evan Dates.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico-based educational nonprofit that is supported by listeners just like you. You can learn how you can help make Kids Public Radio at childrenshour.org. Museum of Indian Arts and Culture and Museum of International Folk Art, divisions of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, support the Children's Hour. Learn more about both museums at newmexicoculture.org/museums. You can keep up with the Children's Hour by signing up for our monthly newsletter at childrenshour.org. Welcome back to the Children's Hour. We are delighted to be presenting the world premiere of Evan Dates' symphony, A Balloon's Breath. But first, we wanted Evan to tell you a little bit about what makes this piece so special. And it's not just because he's only 12 years old.
Hi, I'm Evan Dates, a cellist and composer. I've been composing for 5 years, since I was 7. I'm 12 now. And I wrote this composition, A Balloon's Breath, when I was 11. The inspiration for A Balloon's Breath, I feel, was seeing and hearing all of the hot air balloons floating around the sky, especially during Albuquerque's Balloon Fiesta. If you've never heard a hot air balloon before, when they go overhead, they make a sort of whooshing sound. It's the sound of the fire heating the air in the balloon, which makes it rise. In A Balloon's Breath, I represent this with the cellist and bassist blowing into the F holes of their instruments, which, if you don't know, are holes carved into their instruments to help with sound projection.
Evan, we're about to hear A Balloon's Breath being performed by professional musicians at an event that's called Chatter in Santa Fe, New Mexico. You got to be part of the performance. How was it for you having your own composition be performed by professional musicians?
It was a whole different experience playing with a professional orchestra. I've played with youth and school orchestras, but nothing compared to this experience. I wrote A Balloon's Breath for my school strings group, and that premiere was exciting, but performing it with professional musicians at Chatter was just amazing.
Thank you. That's a balloon's breath. Performed by Chatter in Santa Fe, conducted by David Felberg. Many thanks to all the musicians who made this possible. Sitting in with them was composer 12-year-old Evan Dates. We've got a lot more creative people coming up on the Children's Hour as we're thinking about creativity today. Stick with us for William Shatner and author Dan Gutman. But first, this is Emily Arrow.
I hope you don't stop talking to trees. Ooh, I know they're listening. I hope you don't stop dreaming your dreams. Ooh, I know they're happening. I hope you still use your voice, even if it's the hardest choice.
Listening to the Children's Hour, I'm Katie Stone, and one of our guests today is an amazingly prolific writer. That means he just writes so much. He writes all the time. He loves to write. He's written more than 190 books for readers from kindergarten through the middle grades, and his My Weird School series has more than 100 titles in it, and it sold more than 35 million copies all over the world for more than 20 years. Welcome to the Children's Hour, Dan Gutman. We're so excited you're here.
Thanks for that nice introduction, Katie. I really appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to talking with you guys.
How did you get your start writing?
I didn't know I was going to do this. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a photographer. I had a dark room down my basement. I was the photography editor of my high school yearbook, really loved taking and developing pictures. But for one reason or another, I really wasn't as good at expressing myself with pictures as I was at expressing myself with words. So I went to college, didn't study writing, never crossed my mind to write. And it wasn't until my son was born, Sam was born in 1990, and I started reading a lot of children's books with him for the first time since I was a kid. And I thought, let's try writing for kids. And as soon as I started writing for kids, I felt this is what I'm good at. This is what I should have been doing all along. So I started writing for kids and I've been doing it ever since then.
How did you get the idea for the My Weird School books?
Oh, thanks for asking. I got the idea directly from my daughter, Emma. When she was in second grade, I was writing for older kids, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth graders and so on. And Emma was in second, and she was reading Junie B. Jones. I thought there should be something like Junie B. Jones told by a boy. So I took a Junie B. Jones book and I sort of reverse engineered it. I counted the number of words, the number of pages, the number of chapters, the number of pictures. And I told sort of my version of a Junie B. Jones story from a boy's point of view. And that's what inspired My Weird School to begin with. I've been doing it now for 20 years, and my daughter, now she's 29 years old. So that's how long I've been doing this series. And you might have noticed, if you've read them, that most of the books are dedicated to Emma because she really inspired the whole series.
For children's books, there's a lot of books that take place in a school setting. It's something that's in the mind of a lot of children. So what would you say makes your book stand out the most? What makes your school books unique?
Yeah, what makes them unique? I'll tell you, each book has a rhyming title. I grew up reading Dr. Seuss books, so Dr. Seuss used a lot of rhyming in his books, and I thought I would do rhyming titles in My Weird School. So the books have titles like Miss Daisy is Crazy, Mr. Klutz is Nuts, Mrs. Marge is in Charge. Also, the illustrations. I have a wonderful illustrator. His name is Jim Paylot. We've been working together on this series for 20 years. Jim's illustrations, which they're very distinctive. That's another thing that really makes the series stand out from all the others. And I guess it's just that it's really silly. There's no socially redeeming qualities about these books. They're just entertainment for fun. I guess that's what I feel like makes them different from other school series or books about school.
I just read Miss Daisy is Crazy. Wait, is Miss Daisy a real person?
A real person? No, yeah. No, she is not a real person. All the grown-ups in the series are fictional characters.
Okay.
That, by the way, that's another thing that differentiates the series from all other series. There are 7 kids in My Weird School, but each book focuses on a different grown-up at the school. I started out with the second grade teacher, then the art teacher, the music teacher, the gym teacher, and so on. And as the series went on, I branched out to, like, you know, the guy who mows the lawn, the therapy dog. And now, you know, I'm really scraping the bottom of the barrel. So at some point, I guess I'm just going to run out of grown-ups who work at a school. And I suppose My Weird School will have to end at that point.
I just have to wonder, even though you have a basis of how you come up with ideas for your books, how do you come up with over 100 ideas for books?
That's a good question. I think what I like to do, I like to take an ordinary kid and put the kid into an extraordinary situation. Like, what if a kid were to run for president of the United States? Well, that inspired my book, The Kid Who Ran for President. What if a kid had the power to travel through time with a baseball card? And he was able to travel through time and go on adventures with various baseball players from the past, like Roberto Clemente, Babe Ruth, Jackie Robinson, people like that. That led to my baseball card adventure series. What if a kid got the chance to take one foul shot, and if he sinks the shot, he wins $1 million? Well, that inspired my book, The Million Dollar Shot. So in each of these situations, I like to take an ordinary kid and put the kid into an extraordinary situation, because I figure these are the kinds of situations that kids could fantasize about themselves being in this situation. I'd say that's where I get most of my book ideas.
Our guest, Dan Gutman, has written more than 190 books. We've got links and pictures and so much more posted at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Create Your Own Way. Dan, thank you so much for being with us on the Children's Hour today.
Thank you. It was so much fun. I didn't realize there would be so many of you involved in this. I didn't know it was going to be like the Hollywood Squares here.
Come with me and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look and you'll see into your imagination.
That's Pure Imagination by Kathleen. You're listening to the Children's Hour. Our guests are inspiring and creative people. We have even more coming up with our last guest, the captain of the Starship Enterprise himself, and a creative person overflowing with ways to express himself. And he's not just an actor, he's a writer, a composer, a singer, and a musician. We're talking about William Shatner, and our conversation with him is coming up right after the break. You can follow along on our playlist and see pictures and more at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Create Your Own Way.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Many thanks to the Outpost Performance Space for hosting the Children's Hour. The Children's Hour is supported by United Way of North Central New Mexico. Support for the Children's Hour provided by New Mexico Arts, a division of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the National Endowment for the Arts. Support for the Children's Hour provided by the City of Albuquerque Cultural Services Department and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. The Children's Hour can take your unwanted vehicle and turn it into Kids Public Radio. Learn more at childrenshour.org. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and this is Jazzy Ash.
And now, a brief history of music making.
Radio, gramophone, RCA, extended play. Everybody gotta sing, sing, sing. Everybody gotta sing, sing, sing. Vinyl wax, old 8-tracks, caroling, karaoke. Everybody gotta sing, sing, sing. Everybody gotta sing, sing, sing. Yes, for all of time, any song or rhyme. Yes, stuck in your brain, nothing you can do besides sing, sing, sing. In headphones, stereo, saxophone, slide trombone. TV, new CD, MP3, digital stream. Everybody gotta sing, sing, sing. Everybody gotta sing, sing, sing. Yes, for all of time, any song or rhyme. Yes, stuck in your brain, nothing you can do besides sing, sing, sing.
Among the most creative people.
I am, aren't I?
Yes!
You know what the secret is? I'm loving being here and talking to you. That's the secret. Get to know people. Everybody's got a secret story, and they don't want to tell you their secret story because it's a secret. But sometimes if you talk to people, you get a story from them that you say, wow, I didn't know that. Is that what makes you happy, or did that make you sad? It's really interesting.
That's the voice of William Shatner. He is an actor who has appeared in many, many, many movies and TV shows, but perhaps he's best known for being Captain Kirk on the Starship Enterprise in Star Trek.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
William Shatner also releases records because he is a singer and a songwriter. He's even released records with one of his best friends, the late, great Leonard Nimoy, who played Mr. Spock in Star Trek.
In the middle of the earth, in the land of Shire, lives a brave little hobbit whom we all admire. With his long wooden pipe, fuzzy woolly toes, he lives in a hobbit hole and everybody knows him. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, he's only 3 feet tall. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all. Hobbits are peace-loving folks, you know. They're never in a hurry and they take things slow. They don't like to travel away from home. They just like to eat and be left alone. But one day Bilbo was asked to go on a big adventure to the caves below to help some dwarves get back their gold that was stolen by a dragon in the days of old. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, only 3 feet tall. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all. Well, he fought with the goblins. He battled a troll. He riddled with Gollum. A magic ring he stole. He was chased by wolves, lost in the forest, escaped in a barrel from the Elf King's halls. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all.
That's William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy from Spaced Out. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and today on the show, we're thinking about creativity. Our guest, William Shatner, is a very creative person, and the kids have a lot of questions for him.
In your opinion, what is the most creative aspect about acting, and why do you love it so much?
Well, everybody from, I don't know, when they're born, they may cry, I gotta have some milk, I'm hungry, because they don't have words, right? So they're acting. They're going, ah, ha, 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 ha. And you can tell by the baby's cry what they want. I've had dogs for the longest time. I've got two dogs now. And they talk to me, not in English, but their ears, their eyes, their attitude. And they tell me, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I'm scared, I want to go with you. They talk. Everybody's talking to each other. We just have to understand the language. We have to pay attention and understand the language. So actors do the same thing. Sometimes you don't have to say a word. You could say, ah, God, oh, and it's angry, right? I don't have to say, darn it. I could say, ah, God, blah, and you know I'm angry. You can communicate on every level, and that's what acting is.
What inspired you to be an actor?
So, how old are you?
7.
When I was 1 year younger than you, I was at a summer camp for a couple of weeks because I'm a city boy. We didn't have many trees and couldn't see the blue sky. So my parents sent me for a couple of weeks to a summer camp. And in that summer camp, we put on a play. Everybody wrote the play, you know, it was about children and having to move out of their house, police coming, and I had a part in the play. And then that Sunday, when the parents came to take us home, we entertained them with this play. And I made the audience cry because of what I had to say, which I now no longer remember, was about having to leave the house, being forced to leave my home. And I said it, not really knowing what I was doing, and I made them cry. And when the curtain went up, I looked out at the audience and they were crying. And I thought, wow, I made them cry. I made them cry. And later my father picked me up and said, this is my boy, Bill. And my father gave me love and I got love from my father and I made the audience cry. And after that, that was all I did. I went to school and I got through, But what I wanted to do was make people laugh and cry and get my father's love.
That's beautiful. Making people feel things made you feel like that was your place to be.
That's where I learned from a very early age. But it doesn't matter, because you could learn when you're an old person. That's not what you want to do and study and work for that. It's important you know that you can do anything you want to do. You just have to have the idea. I would like to be a doctor. I would like to be work with horses. I would like to be a dog trainer. I would like to be an astronaut. And that's all you have to do, but you have to work hard to get it. And you can change your mind along the way, but that's the secret.
You raise horses, they're prize-winning horses?
I do.
It is clearly really good for you. You look happy, healthy, and like that is a great life for you.
Especially when I'm talking to kids like this.
What is it like to see the some of the inventions on Star Trek, like the Universal Translator and like Tricorder, get turned into real-life inventions like Google Translate?
You have a little piece of film. You put your saliva on the film. You put it in this container, which is about the size of my phone, a little bit bigger. And it reads, it only reads one disease at a time. So it's programmed, say, do you have COVID? So it's programmed to analyze your spit and say you have COVID or you don't have COVID. But there's 50 other diseases, all of which are troubling to mankind, cancer and all those other dreadful diseases. It can be programmed one at a time to analyze your spit. Then it analyzes it and tells you you have this disease or you don't. It's the beginning of the tricorder. It's happening right now. Three countries in Africa, which is a continent about the size of North America where we are, but on its eastern side, there are three countries, small, poor countries, that have a dreadful disease called Ebola. All of us have cells. Does everybody know about cells? Little tiny squares. That's how we're built. That's how everything is built. So small you can't see them. Cells. And these cells, when they have Ebola, the liquid that's inside the cells doesn't stay inside the cell, leaks out, and it's just dreadful. So this instrument can read if you're going to get Ebola or not, and it's at work right now in Eastern Africa. So the pretend instrument in Star Trek is becoming a reality. And there are many other examples of what you can imagine, just what you can imagine. Anything you can imagine, you can make real if you work hard enough at it.
I think that's part of what made Star Trek so successful and continues to be successful, is helping people think of a future world where it's peaceful and we get along and it's about discovery.
See, I don't understand why we can't get on. Everybody wants the same thing. You know what everybody wants? Everybody wants to eat enough so they're not hungry. Everybody wants to sleep in a safe place where they're not going to be attacked. And everybody wants love from mom and dad and friends, and then grow up and have a family and have love. That's what everybody in the world wants. And why we aren't all working in that direction is a very complicated story, but that's all anybody wants, to eat in peace, to sleep in peace, and to have love.
Words of wisdom from William Shatner. Thank you so much for being with us on the Children's Hour. We appreciate you.
Thank you very much, everybody. A pleasure talking to you. I know our paths will cross some other time.
William Shatner has a kids' release called Where Will the Animals Sleep? This is one of his favorite tracks called Mushrooms Talk to Trees. Find our full playlist and links at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Create Your Own Way. We'll catch you next time for another edition of the Children's Hour.
Well, I never talk to mushrooms. And if you ask me why, well, I've yet to meet an interesting fungi. Here's the truth I found, as odd as it may be. Mushrooms can communicate, but choose to talk to trees. The parts above the earth are called the fungi fruit, but in the soil mycelium, well, it wraps around the roots. Trees of every kind that line the forest bed, and trees use that mycelium to form a wood wide web. Oh man, mushrooms talk to trees. I'm telling you, mushrooms talk to trees. As amazing as it sounds, hey, they chit chat underground. Now here's another fact that's strange as any other. Just like us, a tree can have a nice protective mother. The mother tree gets word around the woody trails about the baby trees she has, using mushroom root emails. Now, mushrooms talk to trees. I'm telling you, mushrooms talk to trees. As amazing as it sounds, they chit-chat underground. Yeah, mushrooms talk to trees. Oh, mushrooms talk to trees. As amazing as it sounds, as amazing as it sounds. In Spanish, they're El Hondo. In Lebanon, Fatar. Mushrooms have a lot of names in lands both near and far. But does the language change with the country they are in? Do Chinese trees communicate in mushroom Mandarin? No! Mushrooms talk to trees. Mushrooms talk to trees. As amazing as it sounds, they chit-chat underground. As amazing as it sounds, as amazing as it sounds, as amazing as it sounds, they chit-chat. Oh, they talk, talk, talk. They chit-chat, they talk, they spell, they scream, they yell, all of it underground.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, links, learn-along guides, and more about us at childrenshour.org.
Today's show is written and produced by me, Katie Stone, with production help from Sarah Gabrielli, Ann Lopez, Daniel Lentz, Claire Reynolds, and Benjamin Green, with recordings by the Kids Crew, Chad Shear, and Grant Taylor. Special thanks to David Felberg and the musicians at Chatter. Find the full video of A Balloon's Breath at childrenshour.org.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour podcast.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour.